God is good.
All the time.
I trust you believe that. I trust you try to live that. But the fact is that many people don't believe that. Many people don't believe much about God at all. A lot of people don't even believe in God. And an increasing number of people in our society seem to think God is irrelevant and unimportant and unnecessary. You see, we live in what people are now calling the age of doubt. You have seen it and lived it, and some of you in your very families with children or grandchildren or neighbors have seen the decline of interest in and faith in God. The age of doubt is the age of America. Right now, increasing numbers of people are saying, no, I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. Increasing numbers of people think that God is irrelevant, that they can't connect with God, they don't need God. That trickles over into the church. We live in a time when the Church of Jesus Christ is seeing great declines in the number of people who think it's important to go to worship or be engaged in ministry. Churches are closing across America. People are saying, why the church? Why do I need the church? What good is the church? Oh yeah, we may believe God is good all the time, but a lot of people out there don't. And some of them are in your families and circle of friends. I never thought that I would have on my shelf, among the many books that I have and get on a regular basis, a book entitled, Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore. Never thought I'd have a book entitled, Churchless, depicting the huge demographics of Americans who don't go to church or don't care about the church. 4 out of 10 have no church connection. And in some places, it's startlingly higher. In San Francisco, 63% of people are unchurched. In Boston, 51%. And across the board, people are just saying church is irrelevant. It's unnecessary. Why even bother? So, a question we must face is, since we believe God is good and that all the time, then we must decide, how shall we live as people who believe in a culture and in a world where many do not believe this way, and many who don't think the church is of any use or of any good at all? Now, be sure to know that this is uniquely an American and a European current trend. Christianity is booming in Africa. Christianity is booming in Asia. But not so much here. And so we ask ourselves today, how are we to live when people at work right near us, when some of our children or grandchildren don't want any interest, have any interest in church, don't want to know about God, and many of them have grown up, even in this church, and now say, no thanks. How are we to live? What are we to do? And how are we to proclaim God is good all the time? And how are we to say to the world the church is good and that there is good in the church? We need to think about some changeless things here. The first is that what's happening in America and across much of Europe in the decline of interest in the church and faith is not to be feared or worried about, because this comes and goes. Look at Christian history, as often I do. Every century there seems to be an ebb and a flow, and some strength and some weaknesses, and some interest and some decline, and some good and some not good. So fear not, my friends. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time. So fear not. Let us be sure to know that while this is troublesome and we still live in such a culture of age of doubt, that in the long term, God will be victorious, and the purpose of the church will be fulfilled. So first, we live in such a way that we have confidence that God will be victorious. How then are we to live further? Are we to go to all the people out there who are at work and who want no interest in the church, or our family who have no interest in faith, and judge them and criticize them and condemn them and tell them they're going to you-know-where? Of course not. That's not how we treat people. That's not how Jesus would treat people. So, when we are with such folks, we do not judge, condemn. We simply affirm what we believe and hope that there's a magnetic power in our faith and our life of faith that draws them in. But perhaps the most important thing we do as we live in an age of doubt, in a time such as this, is to clarify our own purpose as a church, to be very clear who we are as a church so that we can be clear to the world. So we think for a moment now about who we are as the local branch of the Christian church in this particular place as we understand it in a world such as this. And it begins with being clear to know what we are not. Be very sure to know what the Church of Jesus Christ is not meant to be, as best we can discern it. First of all, we're not a clubhouse. A club is for its members. A club is a group of people who pay some dues, who do something to get in, and then are a part of this exclusive group who come together, and only the club members come in, and the club exists for the purpose of these folks only. That's a club. The church is not a club. In fact, be sure to know that the church exists for those who are not here yet. The church doesn't exist just for us. The church is not a clubhouse. Be sure to know the church is not a courthouse. Some treat churches like they're courthouses, or think of us that way. A courthouse where you go in and you're judged. You're told you're wrong or you're right. You're told how you are doing things wrong. But Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." We are not a courthouse. The church welcomes people as they are, seeking to help them grow in their faith. The church is not a fun house. Now be sure to know, fun is different from joy. Joy, the joy of the Lord, is that deep and inside conviction that God is with us, that gives us this spiritual, mystical quality of joy. But the church isn't a fun house. And some people think you go to church just to have fun and feel good all the time. Uh-uh. In fact, sometimes I really hope you don't have fun at church. Sometimes I hope you're uncomfortable, because the gospel is uncomfortable in what it demands of us. A man who went on Caravan of Hope yesterday came back and reported at the last night's service, at Saturday night, he said, "When I was giving out food on the streets where we were called to go, I was way out of my comfort zone." And I said, "Good." We all need to get out of our comfort zone, because the church doesn't exist for us to have fun. Oh, joy, yes. But we need to be out of our comfort zone. We need to stretch. We need to do new things and grow, both physically in what we do, spiritually in how we grow. The church isn't a me house. And that's a tough sell in these days, because a me house is just a church where everything's about me. And that's how our society is right now. Another book, The Narcissism Epidemic, portrays across the board how we are all about me. Narcissism. The church is not a me house. A person once said to me as they left church, "Pastor, I didn't get anything out of your sermon today." Okay. So I thought to myself, I didn't say this, that was good, but I thought to myself, "You didn't get anything out of my sermon today, okay, come next week." This is me thinking in my very bad thoughts. Come to church next week, and I'll do everything I can to be sure that in my sermon there's something just for you, and that you get something out of the sermon. Would you like it rare or well done? Would you like potatoes or fries? What would you like? That's how so many people look at the church. It's all about me, and if I don't get what I want or need, then maybe I won't go. Maybe I'll try another church. The church isn't a me house. The church is God's house. And the church isn't a gatehouse. It isn't a gatehouse where we have somebody at the gate saying, "You can come in because you think like we do." Oh, you're welcome. "You look like we do. You can come in. You live like we do. You can come in." Church isn't a gatehouse. Let's be clear on what the biblical church is meant to be. Now, we're taking a time out. It's halftime. I told you, Caravan of Hope is happening. So hold those thoughts, because Caravan of Hope is happening. We sent out two folks this morning. Thank you. Rebecca's on the phone. We sent her out to Atlantic. Hi, Rebecca. We need the microphone here, please. Are you there? Let's try it again. Hello? We hear you. You're on speaker. The whole congregation is listening.
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Say it again, Rebecca. Where are you? And what are they going to do with me in a week then? Going out right now. This is halftime, remember, hold the thoughts of the sermon, because we have another team going out delivering more meals, and we're going to tell you about the whole program. It's kind of piecemeal. So come on up, Jesse and Carol. So here's the team taking out some meals in just a moment, and I'll get a microphone for you ladies. You see, folks, the 5,000 meals we made for the Caravan of Hope this week, we said, who wants to go? We need people to say yes. So, good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
You're going to go deliver some meals, aren't you?
Yes.
And good morning, Carol.
Good morning, how are you?
Where have we asked you to go this morning?
Phillipsburg.
You're going to Phillipsburg to do what, where?
Taking 50 meals to the Blessed Hope Church.
Blessed Hope Church. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right. Now, you know, Jesse, I'm going to do this because every time I see you, I applaud you for serving the Lord. She sits in our Lord's pantry serving every week at the young age of?
91.
So you're ready. Is your car packed right now?
No.
Okay, you're going down to the big truck. They're going to pack up. Take 50 meals.
And water.
And water, that's right. 50 bottles of water to folks over at the church in Phillipsburg for their mission.
Yeah.
Good. Well, God bless you. We just wanted to say hello, thank you, and wish you Godspeed as you go. Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Will you wish them on their way? So we wanted you to hear while we can, because these things are happening right now, about the Caravan of Hope with Rebecca and her family in Atlantic Highlands, these folks going to Phillipsburg. So let's back up. We just talked about how the church is not the gatehouse, it's not the fun house, it's not the courthouse, it's not the me house, it's not the clubhouse. So what is the church? What good is the church? And what is our biblical concept of what the church is meant to be? What does Jesus want the church to be? Jesus made it very clear that those who would follow him are to go and fulfill his commandment. The passage from Matthew you heard a moment ago, just before he ascends to heaven, he says to them, go make disciples, teaching them to obey my commandments. Obey my commandment. And what is the number one commandment of Jesus? You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. And he illustrated it over and over and over in the parable of the sheep and the goats, where he said, those who feed others, those who clothe others, those who go to prison with others, those who love and serve and give to others, it's like you're doing it to me. He made it very clear what being a disciple looks like, therefore what the church should look like. Obey my commandment. And then in the wonderful story on the Sea of Galilee, where I stood with the team from Trinity just back in February, that's where Jesus had the opportunity to display how it is that we are to live when he saw 5,000 people. 5,000 people, give or take, on the side of the hill, and they're hungry. You remember the story. They're hungry because In those days, people carried food with them. There was nowhere to buy food. And when their food was gone, and this was the end of the day, their food was gone. They had stayed longer than they expected. They had a long way to walk to get back home. And Philip says, send them home. How are we going to feed them? That's what somebody said when we decided to do the caravan home. How are we going to do that? And Jesus said, I have a plan. And then this little boy, I love it. This little boy comes up and says, well, will this help? Can't you see just a little innocent child coming up? You see, in those days, they would often carry salted fish with them and some little loaves of bread. This little boy reaches into his bag. He has two fish and five little loaves. And it's Andrew who brings this little boy to Jesus. And this little boy says, will this help? Can't you see the lovely spirit of that child giving what he could? And Jesus says, that'll work. That'll work. And he blesses two fish and five loaves. And he says, now give them out. Feed people. Because that's what you're supposed to do if you're going to follow me. Feed people. And they all fed. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's God, so maybe not. And so, last May, we got thinking about what God wanted us to do as a church. How we could do the goodness of God in a way that honors God and is obedient to Jesus. Because Jesus fed the 5,000. And so, this vision, this dream for this congregation, us, to feed 5,000 people. Jesus did it in one day. After a little thought, we said, well, we're going to need 2 days. And so the vision was set, and there you see it. It's been there all summer, this vision, these banners, this dream that we're going to feed 5,000 people in 2 days. Well, I had to start kind of getting some help on this, so I called our missions facilitator, Frank. And Frank's the catcher of the baseball over here. Just stand up, Frank. So you don't have to say anything right now, but you have to show everybody your face in a moment. So I said to Frank, I called him in. He was the first person that I put this dream to and shared it with. And I said, Frank, we're going to feed 5,000 people in 2 days on September 8th and 9th, and you're in charge. And that's about what he did. Thank you. Show and tell. We invited 20 people to come to a meeting. 20 people who were invited because of their unique gifts that God had given them. They came. We didn't tell them why they were coming, because I figured they wouldn't come if I told them. So they're, what's it about? What's it about? So a lot of buzz. They sat at the table, and that's when I put in front of them two fish and five loaves. These are live fish. They aren't the same fish I had in May, I want you to know. I put them on the table. I said, God's given us a dream. God's given us a vision to feed 5,000 people the way Jesus did, because we believe Jesus. And he said, go do it. And this is what we have to start with. We had no budget. We had no money. We had no volunteers. We simply had God's call to obey Jesus. The end result, my friends, is that over the course of the 12-week summer now behind us, over 400 people have joined hearts and hands, have given time and donations and skills, and have come together. And this weekend, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the final visit will be made to Hoving House, just down the road from here, where battered women live. They will receive a meal, and we will have given about 5,200 meals out in the course of these 2 days. We had no money when we started. I had no clue, and we were not going to do a big fundraiser because we got other things going on. $14,000 just came. $14,000. Then people started planning. We had Joe DeWitt, a retired military man doing logistics. We had Linda Gonia, director of food services at Centenary University, handling all the food preparation. People talked and invited others, and more came and said, yes, I want to be a part. You know why? Because when people see the goodness of God, they want to be a part of it. The goodness of God is magnetic. The goodness of God draws people in, and when they see it, they want to be a part of it. And everybody understands hunger. So more and more came. And plans were made, and donations came in. And I'll do this, and we'll do that. We had senior citizens sitting at Heath Village putting labels on the 5,000 boxes we distributed. We had little children during vacation Bible school writing notes, because in every box there was a note from either an adult or a child. I love one little note the child read. I put it in the box Friday night when we were working, and I just started laughing. It said, Jesus loves you. It ain't over till it's over. Okay. You see, somebody's going to smile at that when they get that meal, aren't they? And that's going to be some hope and some joy in that little moment in life. And then we needed to do all the work of putting together 5,000 boxes. Wow. Turkey sandwich in every box. Chips, apples. The Star Hall was filled before we started. We asked people to sign up and come and help us this past Friday night. We had 80 people sign up. 225 people showed up. You'll see pictures in just a moment. All the meals were made. And then yesterday morning, 7:30, with military Methodist clock-like scheduling, they came, they loaded up, they went off. You just saw two more people going off. 91-year-old Jessie and her daughter are going off. Children went, adults went. Community members went. Members of the church went. Meals have been delivered. Today, at 3:30, the last of them will be going out. You see, we trusted God. We believed God. That where God guides, God provides. And early on, oh yeah, some people said, are you kidding? How are you going to do that? And I simply said, I don't know. But God does. And here we are. Here we are. So take a look now at where we went in this Google Earth video. As you sense and see a little bit of the coming and the going, because we started right here in our parking lot, in our gym. And so we begin in Hackettstown, New Jersey. And there we are. How did we find people and where did we go? Folks said, well, I know somebody in Atlantic City. Somebody else said, well, there's a ministry over in Allentown that I'm aware of. Somebody else said, well, I hear a shelter. What about the Market Street Mission in Morristown? And so these various places got phone calls. Could we come and bring you some meals? Told them when we could come and what we were bringing. Yes, how many do you need? 50, 70. The highest number, 400, went to Camden yesterday, to a ministry in Camden. And so off we went. And it was joyful yesterday morning to watch people come. We just said, you're going to Camden, you're going to Morristown, you're going to Philadelphia. And they said, take me, I'm going. GPS, and off they went. And they put boxes in, one of these meals for each person. A boxed meal, a 16-ounce bottle of water. Yes, we had 5,000 bottles of water in the room the other day. 5,000 bottles of water. Amazing. And that's what people kept saying. Amazing. Amazing. Now, some of you who went out are here. I'd like you to come forward because I'd like you to share a word. If you traveled yesterday, did any of the deliveries, would you come down right now to share a quick word with what you did and how you did it? You'll see some pictures as these folks come down to share this word. We want them to tell you where they went and a brief moment of how that happened and what happened. You see 43 locations, 25 cities across three states. 5,000 meals. Turn around and face your friends out there, folks. So we'll start with Jan and Paul. 45 seconds. Each. What'd you do? Sorry, it's just in my DNA. I can't help it. Because he's a pastor, and if I don't give him some... Go, Tom, what'd you do?
We went to Lincoln over to the Presbyterian church. Small church. They have once a month a gathering of 80 people. This weekend, they are using our gifts of packed up boxes to feed 25 families. We took 40 boxes to feed those people. They're giving out a pack of backpacks to all the children of their church to go. But there's something else I want to say. We are blessed. And we can thank the Lord that we have a pastor that had a vision from God and listened to him. We are blessed. He wanted us to work, but he had the vision. He had the word from God. He listened and he acted. Praise the Lord. We have a great pastor.
Michael, what'd you do?
We went to the outer reaches of Newton and all the 20 minutes. It's still amazing to see how small the town holds so many homeless people and people who need food. We went to the Presbyterian church in Newton to Manor House for the Bread of Life program. We did not distribute to the people in need. We distributed to the person that was in charge of this program. Wonderful person, a rule breaker. A person that knows, has had a past, working for the government, knowing what works and what doesn't. She, after we left, after about an hour of interviewing her, Richard Wade and I, she was off to deliver these boxes to people who need them in the woods and the bridges and in their homes. This is a woman that gets things done and is a rule breaker. We need to be more rule breakers.
Thank you, Michael. So keep that picture, okay? Some of these meals with homeless people under bridges, right?
Well, Alex and I, Nancy, we went to Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, down by Kate, with another couple, Glenn and Desiree Kugel. We weren't supposed to go. Kugel was volunteered to go get over 300 meals in their car, but they couldn't get it all in the car. So we were signed up to drive, but my dear friend Joe DeWitt said, "Well, you stay here and help us load the cars." So anyway, we volunteered to take our car down with them. And a little over 2 hour drive to these two facilities. I have to say, this is my first time ever doing anything like this in my entire life. I was totally overwhelmed. I get very emotional. So I'm looking around at people, and there was not one particular type of person. All different nationalities, colors, young, old, well-dressed, not so well-dressed. I think I had a God moment because I'm standing there, taking it all in, and my complete body turned into goosebumps. I've never had that happen. I've never seen anything like it. I just want to do more now. I can't explain it, but I just want to say it was a thrill of my life to be part of something that I didn't think I was going to be part of. And I'm going to tell you something. It was so gratifying to help people first facility we went to, we only had 60 meals. But then they said, okay, bring it to the kitchen. I'm a little bit longer.
You are.
I have to, you have to call this stuff because I'm going to the restaurant. I just wonder. They said, take it to the kitchen. Okay, I'm looking for the kitchen. I don't see a kitchen. I see tables lined up with meal bars. That's the kitchen. I said, that was another moment that I couldn't get over. The second place we went to, 250 meals. They had a kitchen and everything. It was 7, 7, 6, 10. But these were different type of people. They were people that had been in trouble with the law and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm just saying, if you have the time to do it, I'm not one to volunteer. I really wasn't, but now I feel like that. Okay.
When Hank and Nancy woke up yesterday morning, they thought they were just going to go to church and move some boxes. But God had another plan for you yesterday. Thanks be to God. Nancy, what did you do? Where did you go?
My sister and I went to Elijah's Promise in New Brunswick and delivered 150 meals with a mission with, they have a kitchen. And they were so busy there, you know, we didn't want to, like, interrupt them and get in the way and then feeding everybody. So we just, we talked briefly with them, and then we walked through the room where some of the people were eating. And it seemed that we talked to one table of people, and they really, really enjoyed the, especially the note that was in the envelope of the box. And they just, like, oh, you know, said something like, God, remember that God loves you, and we think of you, People's Trinity Church. And they just love that. So that was
Thank you. Thank you. Glenn went with Mike. So what was it like?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go. Oh, you went with your son.
I went with my son.
Where'd you go? I'm sorry.
Going to a homeowner shelter with my son Jeremy. It was an afternoon delivery. We were there midday. We had to park in a no parking zone. If you've ever been to Hoboken, there's no parking there. But some people came up and helped unload the vehicle. And had a pastor there. So not only is it a shelter, it's also an active church, as well as an area where people can go and take a shower and things like that. And it was just a great experience.
Great, great. Should I ask the rest of you to keep it to 30 seconds?
No.
Thanks to Hank. So. But his was good. So, real quick, George?
Nancy and I left 7:30 in the morning yesterday. Went down Route 95, stopped for a rest, and got lost. Came out, and our team with us wasn't working. And she said, relax, Jesus will get us. We said, okay, and our GPS came on. And we went to Center City, Philadelphia, to a home, four-story building on Broad Street that homes 97 homeless people. We met the two chefs that cooked for them, and they all gathered around us and said that I was a king and he was a queen. And we were very thankful to the church for what we did.
Beautiful, thank you. Tom! 15.
My girlfriend and I went down to Atlantic City. We're told under orders from Joe to wait to keep our air conditioning as low as possible, so we've got 58 in the car driving down. We went to Covenant House, which is a shelter for homeless youth. We didn't get to meet too many, but I think one of the important things that came out of this is some of the possible connections that we have made with other organizations that it won't be just for this weekend, but hopefully in the future as well.
Indeed, that's part of the plan. Linda.
My boyfriend and I have homes for recovering addicts. And if you were telling me who did in fact and found that they were homes for recovering addicts, males who just got out of prison, talk about walk out of your comfort zone. We got to the first place they came, and I walked out of the car and took a deep breath and said, this is not about me. walked in. And the thing that I noticed the most was that they were amazed, the men that we met and women who were managing, why are you here? Why are you coming to Philadelphia? And so, we wanted to send encouragement for your journey. And then I went to the next place and felt a little bit better, and it's the same type of home. And the men there were also saying, why did you, thank you so much for coming here, why did you come here? And I said, well, so Trinity wanted to send you love and encouragement. This is a difficult journey, so we wanted to encourage you. We were inspired by the story of the 5,000, Jesus feeding the 5,000, and they all knew that story. And so, from the first place, Trinity gave a huge thumbs up, God bless you. And from the second place, everyone was very humble and saying thank you. They said their thanks to Trinity. They did receive the love and encouragement.
Thank you, Linda. Richard?
I want to be very brief. I was at the pleasure of going out with Mike Weiss, and he said a lot of what we saw yesterday. Just a takeaway for me is that I have to realize how much one person can make a difference. So a shout out to Joanne Pierce, who is very much involved in the Anna House, the Brother of Life program in Newton, and also collaborative work with Family Promise. And so through her work, she fills the gaps where so many opportunities are available. And I was shocked to learn so much about the people who do live under bridges and do live in the woods because they're so close to us here. Thank you so much. So it was a great eye-opening experience.
Thanks, Richard. Barbara?
The people at the Market Street Mission in Morristown said to say, God bless you and big thank you for the 150 meals they received.
Thanks. Mary Rose?
My Susan, I hope I'm saying her name, my gracious, and I, we went to the 6th Street shelter in Allentown, PA. It is a shelter that, that serves families. They have 25 partners, and they help families to get back on their feet again, come from all walks of life. And they're there for about 2 or 3 months, and when they learn how to budget, how to save their money, they really need skills in writing a resume. Meanwhile, they have a place to live. The waiting list there is 20 to 30 feet. We did not meet people that, well, we did meet one couple, the caretakers, and they were once homeless themselves, and they are now the caretakers of this place, and they stay in one of these apartments. And it really was, you know, the thought that just kept coming to my mind yesterday was, therefore, let the grace of God live our life. And it was an honor to be a part of all this.
Thanks, Mary Rose. Bill?
Dean Rock and I traveled 90 miles down to Burlington County, New Jersey, to the Pemberton area, but more specifically, Browns Mills. It's kind of on the northern edge of the Pine Barrens. And we went to the Christian Care Center, which was a house out in a rural area. We arrived there on the early side of lunch, delivered our meals. There was only one or two workers there, including Gerard, the head food service fellow. He opened the box and he read the notes. Immediately, the other helpers took the box, read the notes. That was very, very, very important, and they anticipated feeding 30 people at the house that day for lunch, and throughout the early afternoon, the other 60 people were stopping. And the Lord goes back to Pakistan in advance of our scheduled time, very safely.
Joanne.
So yesterday, Jeff and I took the meals, I guess, to Camden, which you mentioned, the cathedral kitchen. And after a little brief challenge of trying to figure out how to get it all into our car, we did make it down there in the nick of time. Cathedral kitchen serves meals Monday through Saturday. And so as the people came in to have their lunch meal, they took the boxes with, box with them, which I'm going to presume was being eaten today because they did get lunch from the cathedral kitchen. And so, they delivered yesterday. I believe they'll be enjoying today.
Thanks, Joanne. Fred?
The people of the Bible story that we just heard this morning witnessed and shared in a miracle. We pulled into the driving parking lot, rather, of a soup kitchen at a Catholic church in Bayonne. There were half a dozen, maybe more people waiting. When we got the food into the kitchen, they had already prepared a wonderful meal for these folks. Voluntarily, in 11 years, a handful of people have been doing this using this particular church. And we're so grateful to have us come and bring these sandwiches and these boxes, because obviously it was more than a sandwich. And as the people received them, they asked us to distribute them. And as we handed them to people, the thank yous that came back, the God blesses that came back, the tears that came back, won't be forgotten. On the way out the door, one of the men who was there, and was one of those, I think, who didn't even have a kitchen in where he lived, so if it wasn't for cold food, he had a long time between meals. He held a note that we all wrote. He put it to his heart, and he said, "I'm going to keep this close to my heart." And we witnessed a miracle.